Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Party people in the place to be. This is what you've all been waiting to see. Electric Boogaloo, the ultimate show. With Kelly, Ozone, and Turbo. Electric Boogaloo is breakdance too.
Yes, ooh. Hi.
Electric Boogaloo's action dance, the best you'll get. If you like breakdance when you ain't seen nothing yet.
I'll finish you. Friends and your whole damn neighborhood.
This time there is an enemy, so they must unite. Because to say what you believe in, sometimes you must fight.
You lost your edge.
Try me.
Electric Boogaloo's the greatest, nothing can compete. And once you've seen this movie, you'll believe in the beat. Another good one from Canon.
I got some tzatziki on my nipple over here. Oh my god. No way.
Welcome to Recap and Gown, the podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I am your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he seems like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. After I finished this movie that we're watching today, it immediately recommended The Five Heartbeats that I started watching. I hadn't seen that movie in a long time. I went through a Robert Townsend phase when I was a teenager. I watched that a lot.
So good.
I'm probably one of eight people who liked Meteor Man and thought it was a good
movie. I loved Meteor Man.
You did? Okay.
Golden good. Lords.
That stuff is. and of course, I remember watching Hollywood Shuffle. I'm like, where has this been all my life? Yeah. But this, I'm going to finish it after the pod, obviously. That just popping up on HBO Max, didn't expect it.
He was even good in The Parenthood. Like, Robert Townsend doesn't get his due. He should be in more stuff. He's still with us, right? He's not dead.
He's still alive.
Where has he been? He should be in the Lost Show all the time now.
He was on The Bear.
Oh, was he? That's good. I'm happy he didn't catch a stray from Cat Williams like everybody else got.
He could have caught a stray. He gets offered something really good. He's like, all right. But he's not just going to do anything. That's good.
That's good. If we're talking about things that we're watching, Love is Blind came back, and the debate over this dude, Clay, is tearing my house in two. My wife loves him. I think he's a living piece of shit. We're going to find out tomorrow because there's more episodes dropping tomorrow. So we will find out whether he's good or bad, but I think he's trash. So for all the listeners who are also watching, I guess hop in the group and let me know what you think about Clay. But flying solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief cliche and trivia correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana?
Not much. I feel like I am dying of allergies right now. Oh. But other than that, I'm surviving. It's rough down here in Texas.
Springtime will get that way, you know? We're heading into nice weather and it's going to be like that.
Yeah, like the weather is like all over the place too, which isn't helping. Because it's hot, and then it's cold, and then it's hot.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of all over the place, what movie are we watching? Where can we get it, and what is it about?
Yes. We are watching Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Mm-hmm.
It is available on Max. And the synopsis, I think, just really covers all of it. I haven't read it, but I just feel confident that it covers the whole entire plot of the film. Disappointed with her small part in the chorus line of a Los Angeles show, jazz dancer Kelly quits and heads home. Her father disapproves of Kelly's relationship with street dancers Ozone and Turbo and encourages her to pursue an opportunity to perform in Paris. That's not true. Okay, so I'm going to... No.
Yeah, that's not correct at
that's
all.
That's not correct. Ignoring his wishes, Kelly teams up with her friends for a breakdancing benefit show to save an endangered community center.
Most of that is accurate. Most of that. I mean, the plot is barely a plot. So.
Yeah, so I don't know how you fuck it up, but surprisingly, they did.
That covers most of the bases. Dave, if you could, give us a rundown of who's in this one.
Lucinda Dickey as Kelly Special K Bennett. Adolfo.
They don't call her that in the movie, but it's all right.
Okay. Adolfo.
I think they call her that in the first Shabadoo. One.
Yeah, the first one. Yeah, she's Special K in the first one.
Adolfo Shabadoo Quiñones as Orlando Ozone Barco. Mm-hmm. Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers as Tony Turbo Ainley. Okay.
I didn't know they had real names. I just thought they were just Turbo.
Only in the first one. On the first one, they have names.
Susie Bono as Rhonda. Harry Caesar as Byron. I'm like, why do I know him? If anyone's seen A Few Good Men, he's the guy who works at the newsstand who talks to no one.
It's been a very long time since I've seen it.
Yeah, he goes back and forth with like sayings with Tom Cruise back and forth. It was weird. It was a weird little part. But I'm like, it's that guy. He's that guy. Right. Sabrina Garcia as Lucia. Peter McLean as Mr. Douglas. Ice-T as rapper Ice-T. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people in this movie that don't really do anything because there's not really a plot. Let's go around the horn and give some memories of the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
Like an exact memory of the first time I saw it? Not possible. Mm-hmm. But I know I've seen this movie as a child. And the fact that it was like always on something. I don't know if it's like, I think one and two are kind of synonymous in my head, but I don't know. I couldn't really tell you the difference. I'm assuming they just always played as a double feature on like UPN or like WPIX or something.
They played a lot together. The first one and second one have very, very, very different plots. Like they're in a shared. The stories are different. There's no Rex Center all in the first one. They do all of this in like a month after the first one ends, I guess. Dave, memories for you.
I don't know. Some of the stuff I recognize, some of the music kind of hits, but
okay.
I do not recall seeing it. I do not, but I'd like to think that at one point I'd be like, this looks funny. It's got to be, but no, I do not recall other than I watched it a few hours ago. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as longtime listeners may know, I was a breaker for pretty long stretch of my life. I started when I was 14. I was in a crew in high school. I taught kids how to break for 3 years in college. I was trying to think of the last battle I went to. I think I was 25. So for like a little bit over a decade, this was a scene that I was pretty active in. In the summer of 99, MTV had Hip Hop Week and it was dope as fuck. They ran a bunch of old episodes of Yo MTV Raps. They played a bunch of live hip hop concerts. They had this amazing show that I've been looking for ever since called Station Zero. It was just Beavis and Butthead, but the two dudes were black and they watched like and made fun of a lot of hip hop videos instead of rock and pop videos. And it was fucking great. And they did it for a week and then it just disappeared. But one of the days during Hip Hop Week, they ran a ton of old hip hop movies. I remember it was Beat Street, Crush Groove, Breakin' and Breakin' 2, like all back to back. I watched all of them. And then the next day, I went to breakdance.com, which I don't even know if that's still a thing anymore. Started watching videos and trying to interpret written instructions with no visuals to figure out how they were supposed to break. So this movie was like central to what my personality would become for about 10 years of my life. But yeah, I have not seen it since then, I don't think. Maybe
Step
one more
one,
time, but that's it.
find giant cardboard box and
I had
flatten.
linoleum,
Step
homie.
two. That's it,
We
or
went to
linoleum.
Menards. We went to
Oh,
Menards and got a
linoleum.
big roll of
Yeah.
linoleum. Yeah, that was
Okay.
we. I mean, got the job done. And cardboard also works, but it breaks down. Like
Yeah.
you do that shit for about a week, your shit's flat, and it's gonna hurt like hell. Let's go around the horn here. Did this make the grade for you, Dana, or should they have held this back?
Well, are we grading this as like an elective, like an extracurricular, like a not
Grade it
like a
however you
core?
choose.
So I'm gonna say this is more of an elective than a true rigorous course. Are you drinking out of a Stanley cup? I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
I've been doing that for like 2 months now, Dana.
I
Every
didn't
episode.
notice. I was like, when did you become like that 28-year-old white woman?
Well, I'm married to a white woman, and we have approximately 78 Stanleys in our house. So she gave me one of her old ones. We got a lot of them.
What?
We got a lot of them.
What?
Got them
You
bunch.
guys spent approximately what, $300,000 on those? You get it because they're expensive.
I
Yeah.
don't ask, but yeah, we have, I don't know, like six or seven at least. We got a bunch of these shits in the house.
Okay. So I'm gonna like grade this as an elective. Like, you know, it's dancing, it's theater, it's not one of your main
It's true.
rigorous courses. So I'm gonna say, actually, even on that, I remember this being like more impressive as a kid. Like I was just like, oh, this dance scene's gonna blow me out of the fucking water. I did not feel that way. And sorry, I'm gonna be sniffling. I'm trying really hard not to sniffle into my
It's fine. This is gonna
microphone.
sound hilarious.
But yeah, I there is like one scene that is actually pretty good. The rest of them make you wonder, like, am I sick? Do I have a fever right now? So yeah, even judging it as an elective, I'm gonna say thanks for trying. Get a participation. But it's not, yeah, it's not as like I remember being blown away, and then I did not feel that way. No.
The dancing in the I'll explain why and when we get into the discussion. The dancing in the first one is a lot more impressive than the dancing in the second one.
Okay. I
The
don't know if
first
anybody else
one,
had
yeah.
started watching This Is Me Now, the J-Lo film.
I
Sorry.
have not.
This is me,
This
dot
Is
dot dot.
Me
Me.
Now.
Now.
And the dancing in that is wild in comparison to this. Just the whole thing of that one. Again, another one that makes you question your sanity. I didn't finish it. And it's only an hour, so I don't know how I didn't finish it. But I didn't finish it. I did not finish This Is Me Now.
Now.
I got into like the dancing in glass houses on the song called Rebound, where they're tethered together. And that's about as far as I got. So yeah. In
Okay,
comparison to
yeah.
that high standard of Miss Jenny from the Block Lopez, this is not really
Yeah.
holding up.
Yeah, I'll explain what happened there. Dave, did it make the grade for you?
As like say it was like a dance compilation, there was some good moves. It'd be like a B plus dance compilation. Them at trying to tell a story kind of ruined it. It was a pretty lame story, but it did become a bit of a trope throughout the 80s of the, you know, the it was the go-go 80s, the corporate overlords they're coming into the inner city to steal what makes our communities, or
Yeah,
in the
gotta
case of
save the
like
rec
ski
center.
or like ski school, like someone's trying to buy the ski school, or it's
Rad, same
yeah,
plot as
rat
Rad.
stuff like that. I mean, it's low-hanging fruit, but it was new back then, so but yeah, I didn't and there was a lot of dumb dumb scenes too. A lot of dumb stuff, like I was talking about in the hospital, which we'll talk about later. That was really, really dumb.
And long.
There was a dumb dance fight sequence underneath in an overpass. I'm like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
So you kind of get over the good dancing part, and then it's just kind of a dumb 80s movie. The acting is subpar, and not a lot to go on from there. So I would I'm not gonna pass it. I'm not one into it
Yeah.
that much.
So for me, it's a little charitable to call this a movie. It's like a series of music videos with little vignettes between, more than anything else. The plot is thin as can be. The acting is kept to an absolute minimum. And like Dana said, the dancing is kind of underwhelming. I will explain what happened here. So the subtitle to the movie is doing all the heavy lifting here because this movie has a lot more popping and locking than breaking in it. And Boogaloo is like the meeting point of popping and locking. It's like if you combine those two together, you get Boogaloo. And so what they're doing is not breaking for most of this movie. They're doing a lot of Boogaloo, a lot of locking. And so like that's why it doesn't look as good. And they're not great at it. The best popper in the movie is the mime. So like there's not a
Yes.
lot of there, that's not what their strong suit really is. And frankly, at this time, popping wasn't what it became yet. This was still really early on for that. So, like in terms of a time capsule movie that's just stupid fun, it made the grade. But in terms of if you're trying to like watch a film, the first one is a lot better than this one, as seems like is often the case.
Well, why
Not
isn't the
available
first one
anywhere.
available
You can't
anywhere
find
if
it
it's the
anywhere. I
better
don't know.
film?
It's the
That's
better film. It's not as fun as this one, but it's a better film.
I wonder if it has like a better soundtrack, which is what's keeping it. I'm gonna look it up.
Uh, it
Actually,
might, I
yes.
mean, well, the soundtracks to both Beat Street and Crush Groove are amazing because Crush Groove is just a story of how Def Jam Records came to be, essentially. And it's all the Def Jam artists. And then Beat Street, it's a story about like an MC and like a graffiti artist. So the music is like central in that one. This one, the music, I'll talk about it when we talk about that. But I do have a fun fact to get us started here. Yeah. So Adolfo Shabadou Quiñones was a member of the Lockers. The Lockers, originally the Campbell Lockers, and then the Lockers was like the first real hip hop dance crew. Two notable members of the Lockers were Fred Rerun Barry from What's Happening, and Tony Basil, co-founded the Lockers. Yes, all of this stuff, all of that.
Tony Basil of Oh Mickey, you're so
The
fine, you're
very
so
same.
funny.
Yeah,
She
it
also
was
did a lot
Tony
of
Basil.
choreography for David Bowie.
Tony Basil and Don Campbell were the two that started the Lockers. I saw a video of her when we were in like quarantine during the early days of COVID, where she was just getting the fuck down in like some sandals, and I'm like, she still fucking got it, like she still got it. But yeah, it's interesting because locking has really not stood the test of time the way that breaking and popping has. And this movie is heavy with locking, so it feels a little bit anachronistic. Other
Popping.
fun facts on this one.
To no one's surprise, but I felt like putting it in here. The film started production before the script was even written.
Of course it did.
Producers were in such a hurry to get it
Fucking,
out into the
oh my
cinemas.
goodness.
The
Yeah.
director started directing dance scenes with a loose idea of the story. The script, they said script writer, but it's two script writers, struggled to meet the deadlines.
Why?
Hence why all the dance scenes were filmed first in order to give, they say him a couple of weeks to rewrite it. Okay, so now I'm questioning that one, but I do think like they started filming ahead of time because I'm reading another article where two people wrote the film. They wrote a different film that was then scrapped. And then they came up with this one, and then there was like a push to keep this like very G-rated.
You feel it throughout.
Who did they, sorry, now I'm trying to, okay, so they hired first-time screenwriters Julia Reichert and Jan Freya, so to write the script for Breaking, but then that one was tossed in the trash. But then they came back for Breaking Two.
Wow.
Electric Boogaloo.
No, I just realized
Give another shot
something.
at it.
It'll be the 40th anniversary this year of Breaking. That's probably why it's not streaming anywhere, the original. I'm
Oh
sure that they're
boy.
holding that for a A big
I can't believe at
anniversary,
least.
probably.
This one also came out in 84.
That's true.
They
They came out
both
the
were
same year.
84?
They came out the
Is that
same year.
right? I didn't, I thought it was like 84, 85. No, 84, 84.
No.
No. No,
Yeah,
but
it's because it was such a hit. They're like, we got to make another one of these now.
there were script problems from day one. Didn't look like anybody read the script. That was the problem. Yeah, that's what Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin was in the first one. They
Shocking.
said,
I
"Hey,
didn't remember that.
do you want to reprise your role?" And he's like, "No."
Nah, sure don't.
No, been there, done that. You have no script. No thanks. I
Yeah,
think what
this
it
one I also
is.
discovered was rushed to the screens because Supergirl bombed.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
That
They were
is
like,
we can do it for the pod. She's a teen in that movie.
yes, she is. I think that one was on Max for a while. I don't know if it still is.
Boy, what a hunk of shit that movie is.
Yeah, so they were like, I'm trying to read this really quickly. It turned into TriStar's prized possession in the winter of 1984. Let's see. So if it when Supergirl went from number one in America to acknowledged and ignored Drek in the span of one November week, TriStar pushed Cannon to rap Breaking Two so the dance film could take the bomb's place. And the lone editor turned into a team of eight and an army of sound engineers or sound editors working 24 hours a day for 2 weeks.
That
Director
explains all the
mixed sound,
ADR.
color corrected, and screened his first cut like simultaneously. It was originally slated for 600 theaters. It went into 2,000.
Jesus. Wow, that's a
Just
wide release.
the number of prints. I mean, there was money spent here. That's something.
It's not on the screen, but there was money spent. All right. Well,
So those are some facts about Breaking Two.
let's get into the recap and the segments here. Dana, where do you want to get us started?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
So I will say the so I did want to start with the music because it was like really catching me off guard. I will say the only song from this movie that you would actually recognize is George Crans' "Din Dada."
Yes.
Da da
Yes.
no no yeah, it's good. It's
No.
good. It's good. That's a
I
great
can
one.
never like remember the original. It's always on that Shake song by the Ying Yang Twins. Shut up, shake, shut up.
Yeah, it's a heavy sample. Bounce to
So
the
I
other
always.
side, to the other side.
Yeah, so that is like truly the only recognizable song in this whole entire film. The other music,
Yeah, no,
and I.
that's like I felt like singing What a Feeling a lot,
Yes,
because there was a
yes.
big feeling about that.
There is one song, which
Anybody?
will not be the first song I talk about, but so all of the songs either sound like bad knockoffs and or are describing what's happening in the scene. There is no in between, except for Dindada. That is the only song that just feels this is something one would dance to. And maybe, I don't know if it's people were breaking and popping and locking to
Well,
it.
see, here's the thing. So watching this movie, I think the music was the most jarring thing about it to me. Breakin' itself has not gone through that much of an evolution from the mid-80s. Like you there's there weren't really freezes at the end of routines back then. The most you could do was like lay on your side with your, hand behind your head, nonchalant style. That was a thing. But like that, the freezes have become a much bigger thing since then. Like the power moves are a lot bigger. There were a lot of windmills in this movie, but no one did flares or anything like that. But the music has changed drastically since then. Yeah, Dendada, you could still hear that at like a breakdance battle now. That they play that still. But basically, everything aside from that, you dance to like funk music now. You dance to like a lot of James Brown. Parliament gets played often, but like funk music is what you break to. You don't break to electronic music or whatever this 80s pop music synth stuff is. I've never heard that at a battle in my life. It is, you get a lot of James Brown because the drums are what you're dancing to, and there's not good drums in any of those songs. So I could not dance to these songs in this movie. I don't know what I would do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what they're in that one article I was reading. James Brown actually has like a video on how to boogaloo to one of his songs to teach people. So I can understand James Brown coming in. But the music is trash because, as Dave said, there's literally a song in it called I Believe in the Beat. And I thought it opened the movie. It doesn't. It's like the second or third song in. But it definitely closes the movie. But it's also heard earlier in the film.
Yeah.
And you're truly like, what a feeling.
It feels the exact same.
I believe in the beat.
And then the words, I'm like, those aren't the words I thought they were. Yeah. It's
uncanny.
The beat.
That is the better note.
And it's like a mix of what's that other song? I got a new attitude. Stuff's on again. I'm like, okay, cool.
Because like right stuff. When it starts to get too close to like Irene Cara, it's like zig. We got to zig away. We got to zig away from it. And it is like every song. Like there's another song that I kept trying to Shazam them, and Shazam was like, these aren't songs. Stop playing.
I've never heard this before in my life.
Never heard this before in my entire life. Because there's another one that I just called it. It sounds like a Whitney Houston song. When Turbo sees his girlfriend, in air quotes, we'll talk about that later. For the second time, he goes to dance with her. And the song sounds like, oh, I just want to dance with someone. There's like Whitney notes to it. I didn't write it down because
the note progression is very similar.
I was so gobsmacked. Because I had to make up my own names for songs. Because again, Shazam was like, no. No.
Why do you want to know these?
No.
These aren't. Are you singing into your phone? Is that what you're doing right now? So it was really hard to find that one. But like, so the actual opening song, and they continue to play it anytime they parade or dance through town, is Electric Boogaloo.
Mm-hmm.
Self-explanatory, obviously.
Yeah. It's a knockoff of a Zapp and Roger song, quite frankly. If you know Zapp and Roger, if you hear Talk Box, it's a knockoff of a Zapp and Roger song.
So there's that one. Then there's the Believe in the Beat. And I can't remember when it's the first time you hear it. But it is, I think it is played pretty early in the movie.
I think it's when they first get to Miracles. I think when they finish dancing through LA for 45 minutes and they finally make it to their destination, I think it's playing when they walk inside Miracles.
Yeah. And the first parade through town is definitely Electric Boogaloo, where it just so happens in this one intersection, there's linoleum everywhere. So let's spin. Let's break.
Obviously.
That was the most breaking we got, I think.
Mm-hmm. It is. And everybody joins in. The traffic cop, the mail person, the people installing phone lines.
The old ladies.
The old ladies who are suffragettes or Jehovah's the Charlestons. I'll never know.
I think I'm pretty sure a mail carrier broke his hip from like doing like a pirouette. Like, what?
It was a lot.
What's going on? Dancing in the street?
It was a lot. There was a huge crowd. Just,
we're like, we got an electric boogaloo.
It was very a lot of locking. Everyone's just from like, that. Who's this kid? Lip syncing. Yeah. All right.
It was a lot. It goes on for a long time.
So that's the first song. Then we get I Believe in the Beat. You're right. When we get to Miracles for the first time, I believe in the feeling. Then there's a scene where they need money, and you'll never believe the title of the song. Gotta have the money.
Of course.
When they need to raise funds. So that happens.
Of course. It's like the Shane McMahon entrance music.
Here comes the money. Here comes. It's not worth getting into.
Wrestling.
He tried to die over and over again. Yeah.
Oh, yikes. Then we go to the club Radiotron, and the song is Radiotron. Yeah. There is a song where they have a dance battle under an underpass, and it's called, was it something combat?
Yeah, it's, I think it's called Pure Combat. It's an Ice-T
Pure
song.
Combat.
I can explain combat. What's happening in that scene if you guys want me to. Like, I can break down what was going on there.
Okay, so before we talk, and just, dear listeners, if you haven't figured that out, the movie has no plots. I didn't write any notes. Actually, no, I did, but they are.
You have great. A couple notes.
I have a couple notes. Again, my allergies have been killing me today, and I'm recovering from a very intense week at work last week.
It was good to see people, you know, settle their differences with dance.
Well, okay, yeah. So it's a rival violence.
I appreciated
gang?
That.
Yeah, that was lots of crew. It was.
They were from the first movie. There was a thing from the first movie with
the Electro Rockers from the first movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're a rival dance crew who the leader doesn't actually seem like he can dance or act.
No. Well, I don't know because he's got a breakdancing name.
But Nitro?
Sugarfoot is his real name is Sugarfoot. So like he's got a B-boy name. I don't know.
Did you see it in the film? Did you see that Sugarfoot?
In the opening credits, I did not see him dance that well.
Okay. So what leads you, is it like someone throws like a paint can through the window of Miracles from
they show up.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, fuck you. Well, they don't say fuck you. Like, yeah, sucker. And then they run off and then they chase them through the streets. And that's basically what happens.
They're the bad kids. They're the bad dance crew. The other ones are the good boys.
I mean, they're wearing black and red, so probably.
But then our main characters were black and red later, so it was very confusing.
They do that later on, yeah.
Before they change into pastel, neon pastels.
The neon pastels.
So
it's a great name, Neon Pastel. It's a great name.
So they chase them under the overpass, and you literally think, oh, is this going to be a fight? And then you're like, oh, they're just going to battle. And you honestly think it's going to be like a, what's the one with Omarion and his cousin? What's that?
You Got Served.
You Got Served. So you think it might be a You Got Served style dance battle. No. This is a awkwardly and poorly choreographed dance fight. It's like confusing. I'm watching Beat It, but not as good.
Yes. So, okay.
Okay.
So
the floor is yours, gentlemen.
Yeah. Well, the way that, you know, B-boy battles work, this is kind of how they start. They don't go like this, though. So, like, I mean, back in the day, it was different because, like, now there's like organized battles where it's at a time and a place, you sign up ahead of time, there's DJs that are there, there's prize money, like it's a whole organized thing now.
They're so-called battles, they're not like beefs.
Yeah, it's a battle beefs. It's a battle, or you call it a jam usually.
Yo, mama.
Usually call it a jam.
Dance.
Yeah, I'm not sure what your hands are doing. Yeah, but
it was very weird like that. I'm get real close to you and we're gonna do hand stuff to each other.
It was confusing.
Some hand stuff.
A lot of hand stuff.
You go to a
battle now or go to a jam now, and it's not like this. I've been to barbecues and weddings where a battle breaks out like this, where there's not a judge, it's not sanctioned. It's just like I have an issue with you, and we're gonna settle it by dancing against each other. The problem with this one, number one, they're outside on like dusty ground where there's probably like loose rocks and glass and shit, so they don't really break at all in this battle. The second part is some of these motherfuckers pull out nunchucks. I'm not sure what that was about.
Then
the miracle dancers grab trash can lids as shields, and I'm like, well, this is confusing as hell. Then there was a part that I wish they would have done more of. So there's a part where they do uprock. Uprock is where you and another person simulate a fight, and then on the same beat, you like squat down and pop back up. It's kind of hard to explain visually, but it's like there's a count. It's 1, 2, bap, bap, bap is how you do it. So you throw punches and kicks, and then you bop down and go back up. That is like the essence of what b-boy battles are supposed to be like. If you go to a jam and Up Rocking breaks out, it's the coolest thing ever because everyone is doing it and we're all on the exact same beat and it's very exciting. They did
How
it
do you
for
not
like 2 seconds.
Each other? Because you both be kicking at the...
Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful.
Okay.
It's like capoeira. Like we're gonna fight and not hit each other. But it's that's what makes it fun and different.
What's the
capoeira? Ponytail. Ponytail. Capoeira
movie. Is it only the strong? Only the strong.
Oh boy.
I hope there's a team. So we gotta watch that one.
We should do that one. But yeah, like they if that's what this whole scene was, it would have been a lot cooler than getting nunchucks for no reason and then putting them in a trash can.
They threw
the nunchucks away.
Yeah, when the nunchucks like came out in the track, I was like, oh, this to me felt like Drumline, where they're going to drum on the other teams. And then they pull out extra sticks. But that was so, like, that was well choreographed. This just seemed like a...
It was chaotic.
Guys, what do we do here? Okay, we should definitely, like, not hit each other, but, like, and dance?
Well,
but,
it also hurts that Kelly can't break. So, like... Yeah. She, the other girl that was in that crew could break. Kelly can't break. So it's just like, she doesn't belong here.
How dare you? She hangs with street people. She can do things.
She can barely pop.
Is the first one like Save the Last Dance? Like,
The first one, she's a dancer who, like, wants to expand her dance repertoire and like stumbles upon these street kids dancing in the street and like wants to be down with them. And so they like take her in under their wing and teach her how to break. And then at the end of it, she and Ozone like fall in love or whatever.
Did she incorporate the street dancing into her classically trained whatever the fuck she does?
She gives up her classically trained dancing in the first one and just tries to break. If anything, she incorporates like some high kicks into breaking. She's not good at it though.
She can kick with the best of them. Okay, so I thought it was like a fan kicks dance style, but okay,
it's similar. But there's not a she gives up on her dream of being a regular dancer and just wants to be a street dancer.
Interesting. Okay, we can maybe come back to that. All right, anything else we want to say about the underpass battle thing?
Sure, combat. That's about all I got.
Okay. Yeah, it was. So then the next song that I wrote down is Don't Let My Love Come Down, which Turbo dances to whilst dancing around the room. It's very Fred Astaire. It's very cool. Like when you think of it, because it's, I don't know how they shot it. I should have looked it up.
It's a rotating room.
It is a rotating room.
Billy Eilish does that.
They borrowed it from some horror movie that did it.
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger, yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, they borrowed the room because another 84 film, they're like, can we like make this?
Y'all done with that?
Dance on the ceiling, like, please? Dance on the ceiling?
It's a what cool a visual, but again, his strength is not popping because no one's strength was really popping at the time because it's too... it's too percussive. There's not enough like muscle isolation, which is what it kind of turns into later on, which is why the mime is so good at it. But like when you're doing that, it just doesn't look very cool from a distance. And we can't be close to him because we have to be backed the fuck up so the camera isn't also rotating with the room. And a lot of, I'm like, this is going on for a very long time of him mostly just like jiggling around.
I thought it was a lot of jiggling. Fun.
It was kind of fun
to watch.
It was neat, but hey, Jamiroquai did it better.
Well, that the room didn't spin; it just shit kept getting thrown at him.
I know.
I remember. I feel like we did another movie recently where it was like, oh, this set was leftovers; so they just like borrowed it.
We definitely did, and I can't think of what it was.
I can't remember now either.
Yeah, we do a lot of these.
It's okay. So that was. Don't Let My Love Come Down.
Come down from where? What are we talking about here?
We should have been dancing on the ceiling with Lionel Richie, but...
Should have, right? Yeah.
What a feeling.
Wait, did Don't Let Your Love Come Down sound like dancing on a ceiling? No?
Don't think so.
I
wish it sounded more like, baby, you let my love come down. That's a fucking jam. Ooh, you let my love come down. Yeah, it should have been that.
Upside down.
That would fit perfectly.
But that is a good one.
Might not have been out
but again, they didn't get any real songs besides Didn't Die.
Couldn't afford them.
Because I checked the two soundtracks. A lot of the stuff is recorded and sung by the same two guys on both things. And it's Ollie E. Brown and Jerry Knight. They write everything and sometimes they perform it. But that is literally Ollie and Jerry sing or write.
Ollie and Jerry.
75% of the soundtrack.
Oh,
definitely
no.
In two. They were also doing it in one. So it's not as good. The other song I thought was called Emergency, but when I looked at the soundtrack, it was called When I See You, like the being an intensive care unit.
Because two by half.
I don't Turbo like puns. This one's stupid.
Trips stupid and falls down. We haven't really talked about it all that much. But the developer wants to pave miracles and put up a shopping mall.
Pave miracles. Put up a shopping mall. Yeah. Put up a shopping mall.
That's right. Pave miracles and you put up a parking lot.
Hey, man.
It's a shopping mall.
It's a shopping mall. It's true.
So they basically, this center, the community center, which we can talk about a little bit later. They're going to pave it and put up a shopping mall. So they're constantly having to survey it. And like this guy's looking through that little thing in the distance. I don't know what that fucking thing does. I see it on the side of the road all the time.
Yeah.
So there's equipment with that. And at one point, the kids are just like really annoyed and upset that their place is getting paved over. So Turbo steals some sort of toolbox chest.
He steals their lunch, he said.
I think that was their his lunch, joke.
But yeah.
Yeah, because the dialogue is not good. Or delivered well. So so he runs away. He's getting chased by these guys. I don't think I would care if I were them, but whatever. Unless they're going to get docked.
He runs so fast for so long. I'm like, they made this man run a half mile at a dead sprint.
Yeah. Carrying this case. And then at some point, he falls down a flight of stairs. Because I'm watching it, and I'm like, I vaguely remember a hospital scene. And then
I forgot about this. I forgot about it entirely.
He falls up the stairs. It really like stuck with me as a kid. I'm not entirely sure why. I think it was this and like Outsiders really, really stuck with me. So he's in the hospital and everybody has to rush to see him. Ozone goes and gets Kelly, who is supposed to be leaving to go to Paris. We haven't really talked about that either. She's supposed to go to Paris, but she's got to go see Turbo in the hospital. But as Bill noted while we were watching it, she has to rush over so quickly that she changed her outfit.
Mm-hmm.
She changed on her way to the hospital.
Okay, script supervisor, you're fucking fired. How dare you? Continuity? Ever heard of it?
What she says to her manager is nuts in this moment, because the manager's like, you can't go to the hospital. You have a flight to make today. They're going to give the job to somebody else. And she's like, well, let them give it to somebody else. Or I don't know, find me another flight. And I'm like...
Which one?
Another flight later on today to Paris or LA? They have multiple
LAX
going to Paris?
LAX to Paris? I think so. But there's got to be a red eye. You leave late at night and get there.
I don't fucking know. Just wildly be like, I don't give a shit. Another flight.
But also book me another flight? It was always like the really worst thing first and then something more reasonable second, like over and over again.
Give somebody else the job or find me another flight.
I don't want it anymore. But wait, no, just give me, it's like, everybody take a beat. So they rush to the hospital because Turbo is in a coma? I don't fucking know. He's like got a leg in a, leg in a cast and a sling, his arms in a sling, but everybody's like, oh my God. They think he's dead or something. And then
he was bleeding out of his head when he fell on the stairs.
He was in full traction. Full traction.
He was in traction.
He was. Legs up, like way like above his head, and his arms are like, try to get him straight. Full traction.
It was one leg and one arm, but he like everybody's treating him like he's in a coma, but he's not like hooked up to shit. And his weird little girlfriend like pops out of a closet.
So why was she in the closet? She was in a cabinet.
Gives him a kiss and they're like, oh my God, he's awake and he's talking. I was like, was he dead? Like, I needed.
And God, what he said when he first woke up, I am hungry. I'm like, what are we doing?
Give me some food.
That's what you wrote? Give us food.
I don't think they wrote that. I think there are some things that Turbo says. I just think they were like, They gave him a script and he was like, no, I'm not saying.
I'm not reading this shit.
I'm just going to fucking make some shit up. So he goes, I'm hungry. Give me some food. They proceed to have a full-on dance number in the hospital where we've got sexy nurses dancing and kicking and pushing people. Yeah. We got people coming out of their rooms like, oh my God, I could walk. I've been saved by the dance music.
That's right.
We have people in an OR operating.
This is wild.
Not the OR. Not the OR. Motherfucker flatlines. And then the dancing nurses come in the observatory and the doctor's like, oh, we start popping. Like, oh, the music is getting to me. Fucking they leave this man, the doctor, the anesthesiologist, whoever else was working on him. What they're doing to him, unclear. I don't know if his heart's open, his skull. I don't know.
Well, because when they're talking about it, they're like, oh, he's gone. We can't save him. It's over. Like, it's doctors having to give up. Oh, what, sexy nurses? Let's just leave him here, I guess.
Oh, like dance into the emergency. It's insane. Call the orderly. Call the orderly. They keep saying
he's
that.
Laying motionless with a flat line on. He's coated on the cart, and they're just like, "Yeah, but that nurse is in a miniskirt, so I'm out of here."
I gotta dance.
Whoa.
I'm hungry. I'm like, stupid, dumb.
Give me some food. So they're dancing around the hospital. We have pregnant women dancing. The dead guy in the operating room comes back to life. And he starts dancing.
He's dancing now.
Yeah.
The funniest part for me was they have obviously like real dancers in the scene and then just like regular extras also bopping along. And I'm like, either everyone in the scene needs to be a real dancer or none of them can be. You can't have real dancers and then also just like random people trying to find the beat in the background.
That happens a lot. There's a lot of like, everybody clap to the beat. And then it's like,
can't find the beat. What is the beat?
I was like,
it's all over the place.
Make it stop. Make it stop. Okay, so I'm trying to remember some of the other songs. Just to see if they like, I looked at this a couple times, but like nothing else is like jarring my memory. Something's called Set It Out, Styling, Spice, Reckless Rivalry. Is that what it was? Not Combat, Reckless Rivalry.
Maybe. I would assume Spice is the one that they play when they just like run up on a random Afro-Cuban drum and dance performance in the park.
Yes, there's a lot of that. There's in the Go amphitheater. Off, which is also performed by Ice-T. We got Jammin' in Manhattan, Action, Physical Clash, and High Tension. Or something.
I think Go Off is the one that they do where he just destroys a record on stage for no reason.
Oh yes, that one's very rock. They do it at Radio Dragon.
Yeah, it's a DJ, and then all of a sudden, Ice-T just gets like a hammer. It's just banging the fuck out of vinyl on stage. I'm like, you're gonna cut somebody with that shit.
Yeah, so those are some of the delightful songs that are in this film that are either describing the scene or sound like something else. So enjoy. Don't ever listen to the soundtrack because it's
don't
terrible.
Don't try to breakdance to it.
Yeah,
it's not gonna work.
Okay, so now we should start talking about our main characters. We have been discussing them as we go. So Kelly is the privileged dancer who's going to give up on her dream because she's a bit part person, but also, like, how old is she? Like, has she been going for that long? Has she ever seen the movie Staying Alive? Not everybody's John fucking Travolta.
Well,
getting in his and first frankly, show.
This can't be more than, like, 3 months after the first movie ended. So, like, this is your first professional working gig. Like, you're not gonna be, you know, Josephine Baker on your first day. Like, it's gonna take some time.
Can't be in the chorus line
Josephine
anymore.
Baker, man. Well, this,
Josephine Baker.
I know, but that's
come on,
that's
a hell of a dancer.
I
hell
know,
of a star.
That's an old reference. That's good.
Well, I don't feel bad about it.
But yeah, so Kelly is like
sings like Al Jolson. Al Jolson. I'm like, what are we doing here? Going to Paris to be the next Josephine Baker. What are we doing?
I prefer Al Jarreau, frankly.
Oh, okay.
Al Jolson.
Did y'all watch the We Are the World documentary?
Of course I did.
Wasted.
University of Iowa alum, Al Jarreau.
Just drinking that wine. Some people decided
bottle
to party
after
before
bottle.
The song was complete, I think is what Lionel Richie said.
Yeah, he wanted to celebrate the end of the song before it was done. Oh, God.
Okay, so Kelly is a privileged dancer, but like she comes from money. She literally, her parents own like a compound, an estate, I'm assuming she lives somewhere on the grounds. I don't think she necessarily lives with them, but somewhere on the property.
I
don't know.
It's an OJ Cato Kalen situation.
You think
There's a
so?
house in the back.
Like a
There's a
guest
house in the
house?
back. Yeah, it's
'Cause there's
detached far enough. She can have her own life.
well,
Yeah.
there's that part where the dad is mad and tells the mom, like, call Kelly on the phone, tell her she has to be here for dinner tonight. So I'm like, so she don't live with y'all? She lives somewhere else to call her to let her know?
But
You
they
don't
also just
see.
like walk over a lot. So it's
They do
yeah,
walk over and pop in
I
a
was
lot.
waiting I was waiting a moment to see like for a moment to see the starving artist apartment that she has, but no,
No, it's a
no
nice house.
such. So
It's a nice house.
I'm thinking it's somewhere on the grounds, but she goes and does whatever the fuck she wants, so she doesn't see him all the time. She has her own life.
Could be.
I would
Yeah.
agree with that. Her dad wants her to not go to Paris, as the synopsis said. He keeps bribing her with Princeton, which like I don't know. I'd go. Fuck. I don't know.
It's wild to me. The assumption is you can just decide to go to Princeton, where it's just like, come on, just go to Princeton. It's like, have
I
you
think in
applied
this time,
to get in
if you're
with their
rich,
money, if you're
you could
rich,
probably just buy
sure.
an airport for Princeton and get her in, I
There's
guess.
probably three or
Yeah.
four generations of, a couple
Yeah.
100,000 Benjamin Franklins can get anyone and anywhere, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's
We all
probably
know how
it.
Jared
Yeah.
Kushner got into Harvard,
Well,
right?
that's his wasn't his grades, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. There's I don't
The
know if this the
Ivies.
I don't know if it's named after him, but there's a couple mil of Kushner money who
Yeah.
they really have destroyed the Jersey Shore. They built all these like shitty apartments like 15 miles from my parents' house where I grew up. Garbage. So she lives somewhere, I'm assuming in the hills. I also, when I watched this movie, was just like, wait, this takes place in LA? I felt betrayed for some reason.
If
I don't know why.
you should, it's weird. It's weird.
Right?
It's weird in 84 to be setting any hip hop movie in LA. At the time, LA hip hop wasn't really a thing yet. So
Right?
like breaking specifically is a very New York thing still in 84. It's weird to have it in LA.
No, I feel like I read something where like Shabadoo is from LA though. Is that what it said
Well,
there?
probably Bay Area, because like locking is a is an Oakland original thing. So
Bay
like, yeah,
Area.
locking is a California thing. Breaking is a New York thing. But like locking is very much there was a dance called Fillmore First, which is it's not unlike voguing. It's a lot of like arm stuff and like a lot of 45 degree angles with your arms, and that became locking, and that was all that was very Bay Area stuff. So that made sense to me, but like they should not have set the first break-in movie in LA. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, what's going on? So she lives in Hollywood. Not Hollywood. I don't know, probably Beverly Hills or something.
Well,
Decided
hey,
it was Hollywood.
Brentwood's a nice area.
It
Oh,
is a nice area.
no. Oh
except for
no.
that thing that happened.
Bel-Air, Beverly Hills, that's where I want to be. Come here. Yeah, come here.
So she lives in a very nice part of town. I believe did Turbo Ozone live in that shack that Turbo was dancing around? What's going on in that shack?
I in my mind that shack is part of Miracles.
But it's
Like,
not. They had to dance all the way across town
oh God, they
from
did.
the shack to
That's a
get to
good point.
Miracles.
In my mind, I'm like, well, Miracles has a boxing gym. It's got a full theater in it. It's got a couple dance studios. I'm sure they have like a little place you can live. No, that's true. It's not there. I don't know. Yeah, that is a shack.
It's a shanty. It's a shanty.
It's a $3 million shanty now, I'm sure, but.
I don't see any utilities being involved there. I'm pretty sure it's
Me
a I sleep
either.
here, but to take a shit and make some food, I gotta go to the I have to go to the front house,
I didn't see any
probably.
lights in that room. It was all just
Yeah.
natural lighting from the site, the
I just
skylight.
I remember the Murphy bed that
Yep.
was what was it? Like it was shaped like something. It was like a skull or a
Yeah, a
bear or
face.
something.
I think
I
it's
think it
definitely
was
had
a
a
face.
face. It was a
But it might have been a
face.
face. I was like, this is interesting. He's like, I'm just fold up my bed while I talk to you about women really quick here, Turbo. There we
Oh, that
go.
scene was
The
unnecessary.
less said about that one, the better. Maybe we'll get to
Yes,
it in love at first sight
yeah.
or love at first semester, but let's not talk about that now.
Wild, it was wild.
Yeah, so it wasn't great. But okay, so there's another, I guess we'll talk about that later. So I'm trying to think of what to bring up before we get to love. Oh, yeah, the movie. So is this movie just like we're just meant to live in a world where people just play music and dance across town, and everybody joins them. Like, is that just the type of world we live in here, or is it?
Yes.
Are they imagining these dance? Like, what is the universe they live in?
I don't think it's magical realism. I think we're supposed to really believe that this is what it's like. I don't know why we're supposed to believe that, but it doesn't seem like they're playing with things here. It just feels like, hey, these guys are such compelling dancers. If you see them dancing, you got to dance too. I mentioned Zap and Roger earlier. I think it's just a Zap song called I Can Make You Dance. That's how this felt to me. The whole chorus of that song is I can make you dance if you want me to. And it's just basically like, if these guys start dancing, you are powerless. It is the dancing plague. You must dance with them. It's a weird world they set up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with the fever dream thought. I'm like, I'm pretty sure dancing and the kind of joy that you see in the streets replaces the realities of what's probably going on in these
the harshness of areas. The crack ravaged mid 80s LA.
Yeah. Hey man, this was a time when this was a terrible, terrible place, and a lot of bad things were happening. You
the
see,
Bataram was
that.
A thing at this time. Yeah.
Instead, it's dancing. A community comes together to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars in a very short period of time.
The
to
news
save a community
is
center.
On board. The local news is like, give these people money.
So I'm thinking this is Turbo's fever dream while he's in his coma. He's like, wow, this is great. And then he wakes
Jacob
up.
Think of that scenario.
And it's back to people, drugs being sold in the corner, people being shot and all that stuff like that. But that doesn't exist in this world. So that's
it almost feels like her dad is the only one who's like, no, like this is a bad place to live. Like this, things are bad here. Her dad is obviously racist, but like he's like, no, this is bad.
He doesn't say it. He's like, look at how they dress.
He did drop a you people.
Yeah,
he did drop a you people. I know what you people do.
Yeah. So I will say, like, there are moments where like the dancing can be explained, but then there are other moments where it's just like, yeah, someone has to be imagining this, because it just doesn't, like that fight under the underpass, I was like, oh, this is a nice way of showing. It's like when, like, I don't know if you watched like God You, the boy spinoff.
No,
there's like a moment where the characters, like, everything becomes puppets, and you're like, oh, this is just a nice way of showing people get murdered.
Book smart when they do drugs,
and like
the book smart drug scene,
yes. And it's just like, oh, instead of people fighting, they dance.
Because realistically, there would be a lot of unhoused people on the overpass, there'd be an open air drug market under there. You're right,
yes,
it was a very clean,
it was very clean.
Yeah. And like the shit in the, you know, like in the ICU, that's probably him just up on them. They're probably pumping like Demerol and morphine, you know, giving him that good shit up in him.
The good drugs.
And then like the dancing on the ceiling thing, that didn't really fucking happen. You know, so it's
that
just
couldn't
like,
have happened. That's true. That was just him being in love.
Yeah. So I just think, that's what might be going on. Okay. Since you mentioned it. Yes, there's a lot of you people,
sure
these
is.
People, street people.
You're used on drugs and cars.
Yes. So
what do rich people spend their money on? Drugs and cars. Like, it's the same shit you got.
So at one point they realize, they have this building, Miracles, that is going to get become a shopping center because it's technically owned by the city, but it's leased back to or rented out to the Miracles folk. How
it's
people
also
at Miracles,
condemned.
Yeah, so we find that out as well. Like, it's condemned, and no one should be in it. It's not structurally sound.
No.
So my first question around this is, and then we'll pivot to like the you people, these people thing. How do the folks at Miracles make money? Are the kids paying to be there? Is it grants? How are they paying to rent this place from the city that is structurally unsound?
You just said it, man. Drugs. I think they're selling drugs out of Miracles. I think someone is selling drugs.
I'm guessing the city, it's probably, the lease is probably $1 a year or something like that. They're like, this building would be destroyed and decrepit if it wasn't for all these folks coming together and keeping it up and using it for something and not letting it fall into disrepair. It's probably a cheap lease.
And okay. Otherwise, it'd be blight. You're right.
And I'm sure that this real estate guy has people on his payroll. Is like, check the registries for all these buildings. See which ones are cheap leases and are like in danger of like getting condemned if we pay the right guy to do so that. Yeah, it's
okay.
That's it
makes sense. So
there's a follow-up question to that one. That if the lease is so cheap, balloons.
The fuck happened? You didn't even do anything with your hands.
It's this motion.
Oh, right. Yeah, there we go. If I do that, only for you.
Nah. All right.
I think you have to be on like a fancy corporate Zoom or something, which is so distracting if you're in a fucking meeting. They got balloons so going weird. Everywhere. Anywho. Okay, so question number two. Do Turbo and Ozone make money working there? How do they make money? Where do they make money? Is that why they live in like a fucking utility-less shack?
In a hovel? I mean, they probably make their money busking, right? I could see them like go and put a hat out and dance on the street for money. That seems like they're steez.
If that is the case, there are some moments where I was like, Kelly's dad has a point. Kelly's dad has a point.
I mean, they obviously find their clothes in the garbage, so they don't like spend money on clothes. They probably live very cheaply they're probably squatting in that place. I bet they make a little bit of money dancing on the street from time to time. Like that video for what was that, Days Go By, that Fatboy Slim video? That old man is pop locking on the street. Same thing as that.
So basically why there's a lot of these people and
these people. It's a classic. At that movie is one of my favorites.
It's really good.
Okay. Because they realize that, like, they need this money, $200,000, which when we were watching it, Bill was like, that's not that much money. But if you do it to, like, current dollars, it's anywhere from $500,000 to $750,000. That's a lot of fucking money.
Even right now, $200,000 is a lot of money.
Structural repairs. Like,
I don't have $200,000 lying around.
They're based on that amount of money, with them walking around inside there, I'm waiting for them to, like, walk into one part and have the entire building start to slip the way. Right. Or she's like, stuff starting to fall from the rafters and stuff. It looks
exposed.
Pretty decent in there.
It looks just fine.
I don't see anything like that. But you know, also
no exposed wires or anything.
I think the guy at the planning commission was being paid, so maybe it doesn't require as much.
That's true. He's on the take
because they think it does. So I don't know.
But they realize they need money. Who has money? Kelly's dad, and she's like, she offers herself up. And Ozone's like, I don't want to use you. And she literally is like, I don't want to use you. And Lucinda, baby girl, great dancer, line reading. It's okay.
And he's like, really? That's her answer. It's okay.
It's okay.
She became Bill Withers all of a sudden. Just use me. It's fine.
Use me up.
Boom, 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 boom.
So they go to dinner with Kelly. It's Kelly, Ozone, and Turbo go to dinner with their parents. Kelly's fiance shows up and nobody reacts to it, but then Ozone gets mad about it later. You didn't react in the moment. Those two are acting like fucking buffoons, Turbo and Ozone, when they get there. Charlie Chaplin? Are they fucking the Three Stooges? Just like complete fucking idiots.
So this is part of breaking that thankfully did not last. At the time, being deliberately silly at all times is how you're supposed to be. There's an episode of Cosby Show where Denise's friends come over to the house and she's got like three or four of her friends are also breakers, probably around this exact same time. And the way that they behave, I'm like, can you be serious for 1 second, please? Can you just sit the fuck down and calm down? They're constantly like mugging at the camera, making faces. And there's a part where, you know, the canceled Bill Cosby also does it with him. And it's like, look how dumb you look. He's doing all the shit. Yes. He's doing all the shit.
Come on, you
look absurd. So like, yeah, at the time.
Buffoonery.
Yes, buffoonery was their stock in trade. When they meet the maid, all of a sudden they're all in her face doing shit. I'm like, will you fucking stop?
I doubt that they know how to act in front of in a place that has a maid.
Or in a place like a law. Just walk. Sit down.
They don't know how to do that. And then, rule one, don't wear your cut off leathers to they didn't know it was like a formal dinner, but with people that you know are fancy people, maybe.
Or not a quarter mile away.
That's
true.
You can't find
the clothes out of the trash.
A nondescript t-shirt and the cleanest pair of jeans that you have, and then some sneakers.
But somehow,
now with the studs and the belts all over the place and all that, I'm like, okay.
I mean, somehow they wind up with plenty of money for multiple costume changes during their big dance number at the end. So
yes.
I have a question. Okay, so I just realized we gotta start pumping through because I got a lot, but because I do want to talk about that at the end. So yep. They go to this dinner, and this is where the dad comes to realize, oh, you're here for money.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you people do with money.
Mm-hmm.
You mismanage it.
Yeah.
Spend it on drugs and fancy clothes and cars. I don't see any point in throwing good money after bad. And then, so they storm out because they get mad. Stupid Derek is like arrogant, riffraff, whatever.
He's Tucker Carlson. He's got a fucking bow tie.
What was his accent? He had an accent. Was it like
Mid-Atlantic. Like, yeah, Mid-Atlantic.
It was very, bordering on like British almost. It was very weird.
Yeah, it was what Lord Bottomtooth accent is what he had.
Yeah. There's like also a thing later where like the guy who runs Miracles basically is like, Miracles keeps kids out of gangs and off of drugs. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then someone says something about beyond these people. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. It's like, it's beyond these people that help themselves or whatever. It's like,
yes.
It's, yeah. It was very paternalistic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not great. And then at one point, it's this weird smash cut after emergency and the whole dancing in the hospital. Like, literally, I'm like, everybody's dancing around. This movie's wild. Trouble didn't get any food. He just got to dance. Like, all he said was like, I'm hungry and don't give me any food. And then it's like the most neck-breaking, jarring cut to Kelly and Ozone eating pizza. Ozone has his shirt off, and they're looking at each other like, like, what?
Yeah,
very bizarre. I'm pretty sure they just fucked, but
they fucked for sure.
It's G, so
this man always has on 90 layers, and all of a sudden he has no shirt on. They fucked.
He's eating greasy food. He didn't want to grease up his shirt. He needed to take off his shirt.
Got it from a trash can. He doesn't care if grease lands on it.
You shouldn't be so mean about that.
You eat greasy food. Do you wear a shirt?
Take off my shirt and have this gyro real quick.
Yeah.
Every time I'm eating a soup, I have to slurp. Every time I go to a ramen place, popping my shirt off because I don't want raw splashes.
I got some tzatziki on my nipple over here. Oh my god. No way. Hazard. It's a hazard. It's a gyro hazard.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I think Kelly's dad comes like barging in, and he's pissed that she's still like there, and he's like, how about this proposition for you? What if good I deal. Pay to save Miracles?
It's a good deal.
But Kelly has to stay out of that neighborhood and go to Princeton, and Ozo won't let her do it. And I'm just like, motherfucker, take the 20. It's like the Marvel's Endgame thing, where if they could have just let fucking Gamora die, People don't get snapped. You know what I'm That's saying? Right. Spoiler alert, right. Everybody.
You know what? Just lie to him. You see, he can't take the money back once he gives it to Miracles. Say, yeah, Dad, I'll go to Princeton. Yeah. I'll stay out of the neighborhood. What, the check cleared? Never fucking mind. I live here now. Like, I mean, yeah. What? You know, he can't. There's no, like, instead of the follow through, just lie to him.
Right?
Lie
there's,
to
like,
him.
A lot of different options. And he's, like, he tries to turn it down. And Kelly says, like, your pride can't afford to turn down an offer like this. And you're like, ooh. He's not wrong. But then there's like a moment also. Oh, I think it's when Kelly gets that job and is going to go to Paris. And like it's right after the fight at dinner. And Ozone is like, I think it's supposed to be like a shitty response, but she's like, wants him to tell her what to do, if she should take the job in Paris or not. And he's like, I can't make that decision for you. I can't tell you what to do. That's a fair response, but I guess the way he was saying it was
because he was moping.
It was a weird back. It was a weird back and forth. It starts like, "Hey, Ozone, I got the job in Paris. Well, go then."
Oh yeah, the fuck out of here.
But it was voiceover and didn't fit at all.
But then it went back to like, "Yeah, you should just go." Well, I can't tell you what to do. I can't. So right. It's always like over the top. Dial it back.
he looks like he's almost 30 and he behaves like a 15-year-old.
Like, it's not well written. It's not well acted.
No.
So yeah, so this is the love it first semester part where I guess after the first one they fell in love, but at the start of this movie we're supposed to believe they haven't talked since
this was so confusing.
Chorus girl? I didn't really get it.
So
well, they greet each other with the very beginning. Yes. I'm like, can't have been that long. Can't be that long.
So yeah, like they kiss right when she shows up, but like on the other hand, it seems like she's not been in town for some number of months. She's like gotten a job and is on a chorus line to the point that she's like burnt out from doing this job. And it's not like, oh my God, I've been missing you so long. Say, hey, Kelly's here. It's almost like she pops in from time to time anyway. I was like, I'm very confused by this.
It was, So that part was like very bizarre. Yeah, unclear. But then there's also like Rhonda, who I was calling art teacher. But Rhonda is ready to like fucking shake a bitch over Ozone. And she's like,
Rhonda is dangerous.
You don't belong in this dangerous. Neighborhood. I don't want to see you around.
Terrible acting, but I understood what she meant because it was very literal, but very bad acting.
Well, you know what? They needed to have a scene after Kelly is like, I might go to Paris or whatever. They needed to have a scene where Ozone is mad at her and we see Ozone and Rhonda have like a sexy dance scene together.
That's the thing. I was like, what's Rhonda going to say? I was like, Rhonda's going to be like, okay, Ozone, I wasn't going to tell you. I'm going to have your baby or something like that.
Well, she does say she loves him. And I was like,
that's what I was going to, I thought it was going to be something like that. It's like, well, why are you paying attention to her and not me? I'm like, oh, there's going to be a big reveal here.
Yeah, I mean, get no reciprocation. Like, well,
you should care about me, not him.
Yeah. You can't show her being this obsessed with him and him giving her nothing back. Like she's like, there's no reason you like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great. So that's the other relationship, and that she's ready to like bite a bit. She knocks over a bunch of pizzas that Kelly brought. I was like, hey man, don't fuck with free food. Don't fuck with free food.
She's a mess. She's on tilt entirely. Like...
And then the other relationship, and then we'll talk about the performance and all the whatever else you want to get into about it. Turbo and Stage Girl, who I guess her name was Lucia. They barely speak. It's unclear if she even speaks English.
And just learns, she's just like, feeds him French fries and just says hello.
It's bad.
Hola. I'm like, okay, great.
It's good. Super awkward. And what I saw, and I would believe, because I had noticed it, is... she can speak English and Spanish, but she was so soft-spoken that the mics could barely catch what she was saying. That's why all of her lines are ADR'd incredibly poorly. Okay.
I am convinced the person who ADR'd her lines was a man doing a woman's voice who spoke no Spanish.
Hola.
Hola. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, please. Please, lemon pledge, please.
Right?
Hello. Hello.
I'm just like... all of her lines, like, ay, 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 oh no. And I'm like, that is a man doing a woman's voice. That's how I sound doing a lady's voice. Right. Like, that's not a lady doing this ADR.
Yeah.
It is so bad.
And I can't. Gracias, senor. What is around this?
When they're running around the hospital and she's trying to help him escape, that's when you like really, really notice how bad it
it's
is.
So just
like,
bad.
Why did they do this?
Just let her be soft spoken, man. It's fine. It's they didn't, so
like,
bad.
They didn't pick it up in the moment that they're like, it seemed like it
they was not Davies.
It wasn't right. until they got in the editing room that they were like, oh fuck.
Uh-oh.
We didn't pick up any of her dialogue. We can't find her. Because you know everything. Like, there's usually good ADR in most movies. They're just like, oh, fuck it. We'll just...
Hey, Jeff, I'll get over it. Here real quick.
You hola, can speak Spanish, hola, right? Turbo.
Oh, my God. It's so Jeff, bad.
You're second cousin's Mexican, right? You're the closest one. So you got to come in and do this for us, all right?
Get in here.
Come on in. Come on here, Jeff.
Oh, it was wild.
Mi amo Lucia.
Oh, it was so unfortunate. So incredibly unfortunate.
Okay. And then here's how we take down the developer who's trying to paint miracles over and put up a shopping mall. Is ultimately just one day there's a showdown between bulldozers and the kids. There are a shit ton of people there, but the bulldozers are able to scare off everybody. But then Turbo breaks out of the hospital and he finally like puts a stand and is like, you're not going to go through. Douglas, the developer, is telling his bulldozer guy, like, run him over. The guy's like, I'm not fucking killing a
kill
kid.
Kill that
dude.
Kid. Like, yeah, murder not, that kid.
I'm not murdering a child for you, sir.
Make him a wage. Kill him.
I'm not fucking murdering a kid. So Turbo saves saves Miracle that day. You're like, oh, great. Now they're not going to bulldoze it. And you know what? Who happens to show up? Howard Howard from the local news.
Howard
from the local news shows up right as this is being done. And the guy from the city, whose name I think is Randall, people are just taking interviews live on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Not a second thought. Not going like, no comment. Get out of my face.
No PR prep at all. Like, just whatever questions are asked.
None.
It's live. Don't worry about it. Enjoy
just
yourself.
Give an answer
fun.
To him.
Yep, and Howard asks Randall, like, what's going on? And then Randall basically in the moment is just like, hey, the developer wanted to take this place, but we're not going to let him. And Douglas is like, what the fuck? He's just like, man, we can't handle the bad PR right now. The mayor won't take it.
Because it's an election year. It's an election year. What? We didn't know that until now.
Shit. No. It's an election year. So now all of a sudden it's like they can keep miracles, but it's still a fucking
it's still condemned. Building. You can't
it's not
be
condemned.
Inside.
It's structurally unsound. They never say condemned.
No, but so they were given a 30-day grace period to bring it up to code before it would be officially condemned.
Oh, you're right.
Torn
and
down
sold to the developer. So they still have work to do. They did raise like $7,000 selling carnations, drawing portraits, busking, and doing a car wash.
And the developer guy, they got him to give them $6,000. So $1,000. Oh, was it 10?
Yeah.
Oh, because he's like, yeah, he said, I thought 3, but that's too low. And then he's like, oh, 6. Like, you gotta come up from that. I'm like,
this is also not good.
He's gonna give you anybody. What are you talking about?
Right. So then, but there's like, as you're saying, there's a lot of stuff where they are constantly like building a stage, painting stuff, putting up decorations. And I'm like, where's this money coming from? And then ultimately there's like multiple costume changes. There's like all this stuff. And I'm just like, this is taking from your profits. They do put on the show because Howard tells everybody who is within the reach of my voice, come on down to Miracles and help these kids raise $150,000, which I don't know
hey,
where
Howard,
they got to
you're
the 50.
Fired, bro. You can't. You can't. This is not what your job is. You're supposed to be reporting on the news, not advocating. You're fired, Howard.
Yeah, it's fine. So then, not only do they get people to come down to the show, they televise the whole show, which is so kind, because then Kelly's parents are watching it and are like, wow, she's really doing a lot. And the mom's like, well, she is volunteering. We always told her about philanthropy.
She's working with the poor's.
Working with the less fortunate, darling.
Howard. What if it was Huell Hauser? It's like, wow, you guys got this nice community center. This is something. Wow. So as soon as I heard Howard, I'm like, that's supposed to be
Howard.
Huell Hauser.
Mm-hmm.
And they wind up saving and raising all the money they needed to make to save the miracles, to renovate it. Anything I missed, anything you gentlemen would like to discuss about this film?
No, man. I mean, that...
Ice-T is a rapper. I mean, it's... I'm a Law & Order fan. He's good on SVU, yeah. But as a rapper, I'm like, man.
You know, his rap style changed so much in a very short amount of time. Because, like, in this movie, he's basically doing Curtis Blow. Like, it's clap your hands, everybody, clap your hands. Like, that's what he's doing.
An Omega move.
And then, right. And then 2 years later, it's like 6 a.m, police at my door. I'm like, what did we get from that?
Cop get him! I'm like, Jesus Christ, Ice-T. Right. My God.
Right? Yeah, he became a hardcore gangster rapper right after taking off that mesh shirt. Like, he really went through an evolution.
This is weird to see, because it's him.
Yeah.
I see that, and I'm like, that's him. It's not what I, because I'm remember the late 80s, early 90s when whatever the Tipper Gore people were like, this die pig die.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that was Charlton Heston doing that.
That was Charlton Heston. They tried to charge him with sedition. They tried to charge him with sedition.
Well, they're trying to charge everybody with sedition. People should be charged with sedition.
No, we'll talk about it. They might get it. Yeah, we'll see.
Do we want to talk about the weird how to mac on girls with the weird dummy? Do we want to talk about that too?
No.
So no, because that's
fucking
was,
gross and weird.
That was a fever dream, right? Because they became the dummy became real people.
That yes, the dummy became both girls. Then they tore it
three
in half.
Girls.
Who was the third?
Rhonda
girl? Was
popped
Rhonda
in there
too.
Oh yeah. I thought I was like, did you guys paint in there and you didn't let out the fumes or something? Something's weird going on in that little show.
I will say, my question for that scene is, I don't know how old Turbo's supposed to be. He's got that wispy mustache, like he's 15. So, like, I could see he appears he's never kissed a girl before, but he's an orphan then, right? Like, he lives on his own.
That opens up a lot of questions. If Turbo is 15 and Ozone is 42, why are they hanging out? Why do they live in a shack together?
Well, I will say, I've seen that with B-Boys. There's this dude, Waka, who was like the godfather of Breakers in Chicago. He was very good. Probably still is, but he was like 40-something years old. And there was a dude on his crew named Junior, and I think Junior was like 17, and they were like best friends. So like that happens with breaking sometimes, if it's like, you know, I taught you and I'm your mentor and whatever, but like these two, with those two, Waka and Junior, it was a clear mentor and mentee relationship. These two seem to be peers, so it's a little bit different,
but they also seem to live in that weird shed together.
They share that room, that's true. Yeah, I don't know,
rock paper scissors shoot each night for the fucking weird Murphy bed.
This is what happens when you begin filming a movie before the script is written. There's just plot holes and things that don't make any fucking sense.
Fair.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was the start of big things or the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. Dana, who are we going to dive on this week?
Oh, I'm cheating.
Yeah, choice is galore.
I am picking Miss Layla Rashad, who's part of Rhonda's crew.
I saw her in a second. I'm like, no way.
She is in the first one. She's an extra in the first scene. She is in this movie credited as dancer as Layla Rashad Quinones. I don't know. Was she with Shamadou?
Related to?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think they were
probably his wife.
Before she met Antoine Fuqua.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, she's married to Antoine Fuqua.
Wow.
You guys know that?
They did not know that.
Yeah. Equalizing? I fucking love those movies.
Equalizing.
Each one of those movies made $190 million worldwide.
It's I know.
Equalizing.
I know.
She was married to Shabadoo for 5 years, from 82 to 87.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Miss and the best you can get her is this, huh? This is the best part you can. What, have her play Rhonda?
I don't know. So she has these two as her starts, in both in 84. She then goes on to be in some movie called, a TV movie called A Bunny's Tale. She goes something called Stewardess School in 1986 as the school instructor. She appears on one episode of Facts of Life, Cosby Show, What's Happening Now, all in 1987.
Busy year.
Yeah. She then, I'm going to skip over some stuff because there's a lot. Is on one episode of Amen in 1988. Sherman Helmsley.
What a fucking show. Amen.
Love that show. she then is in Harlem Nights in 89.
Yeah.
Oh, Pryor and Murphy. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's in one episode each of these shows, 21 Jump Street, 227, and First and 10, which I think is that TV series we just
watched. Fucking love 227. I can rewatch 227. Is great. 227
like Mary.
That one and that Amen and Perfect Strangers. I think I could watch those shows nonstop. Mm-hmm.
If I Coulson had to Larry.
Yeah. Coulson Larry. It's a me Balky.
Guys, it's gonna take me forever to get through this. And then in 1981. She's in one episode each of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Detective Extra Large. she is in Boomerang in 1992. She's in an episode of The Rock and Tales from the Crypt in 1992. She's in Meteor Man in 93. Episode of The Sinbad Show in 83. She pops up a couple times on Hanging with Mr. Cooper. She's on 13 episodes of The Wayans Brothers. She's in Waiting to Exhale. Mr. and Mrs. Loving. She winds up being in an episode of Outer Limits in 97, gang related in 97.
With Tupac and James Belushi? John Belushi.
That's right.
Jim Belushi. That movie, that pairing was always weird to me.
Did you guys ever see Why Do Fools Fall in Love? She's in
Frankie Lyman story. Yeah.
I do passing someday. I love that song. I saw that movie just because I like that song. It's a good really one. Good.
She's then in Any Giving Sunday in 1999.
Something
called Labor Pains in 2000.
Okay.
She's 22 episodes in something called The Division in 2001. She was in First Daughter in 2004. Brooklyn's Finest in 2009.
That is that's a Wesley Snipes Ethan Hawke vehicle about some corrupt NYPD officers who are getting tracked down by IAD. It's good. It's a good movie.
Huh.
That's an Antoine Fuqua movie.
Yes. She's in that movie as Leila Rashan Fuqua.
Woo!
Then might be on some show with Malcolm Jamal Warner in 2011. Read Between the Lines. She's got a lot of stuff that now we're coming into the 2010s. I've never heard of Supremacy in 2014. She did something, a TV show called The Breaks in 2017. Training Day, the TV show, not the movie.
Oh,
they did that
TV show. They did that. Yeah.
Yeah. She is on a show that I recognize. She is on David Makes Man, which is a very good show. She's on two episodes. She plays David's grandmother. It's by the guy who wrote Moonlight. Terrence McNair or something like that. It's about about him growing up in Miami. The first season's great. I have not seen the second season. Gut-wrenching, but delightful. She was on an episode of Insecure in 2021. Something BET Her presents The Couch for two episodes in 2022. Family Reunion for one episode. And she's an upcoming project called Boomeranged, Oh, it's rumored. It's in
No
development.
way.
So,
No
sequel,
way.
huh?
They can't do it. No.
I mean, you
So
know
was
what?
this the start of something? Yes.
Yeah.
Big things?
I'd say
Not
so.
always, but
Some things, but yeah.
Something.
That string in the 90s is pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
He was
Yeah.
hitting in the 90s.
Yeah. To
Yeah.
come from dancing under an overpass with dudes that have nunchucks to
No,
that,
no, no.
that's.
She was only ever at Club Radiotron.
Oh, I thought she was the girl dancer on that crew. Okay.
No. She is one of Rhonda's friends.
Gotcha. Okay. Well,
Yes.
no nunchucks for her.
Correct.
Guys, that does bring us to the end of this episode. And just like the end of the school year, that means it's time to add some superlatives. Derek, we didn't talk about Derek a whole lot. He's Tucker Carlson. Derek is most likely to report a lemonade stand for not having the proper permits. Kelly is most likely to downplay her family's money when describing herself as a pioneer of the LA hip hop scene. Turbo is most likely to prematurely ejaculate, because of that scene with the dummy and all. And Ozone is most likely to bust out a windmill once every few years and say, "Yep, I still got it." This next movie is Dave's pick. Dave, what are we gonna watch next?
I was not kidding about that Capoeira movie. It is on HBO Max and Eenie Meenie. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. Only the strong. I'm gonna pick it
Are
from
there teens in it?
1993. Here's the thing. It's about a Green Beret who comes back from training in Brazil to his old neighborhood and ends up teaching capoeira to some at-risk
All
teens
right, there it
after
is.
his school turns to shit
I've
and his
never heard
battle
of
with drug
this.
dealers makes up
I've
and his battle with the drug
never
dealers
heard
makes
of
up
this
the entire
movie.
plot of the film. It's the only film where they decided that, you know what, capoeira, let's do that. Yeah,
It's
let's do
cool.
it.
It's definitely a cool thing. It's just like it's not the most
Let's not say
I
it's
don't know. I mean,
cool if it
Eddie Gordo isn't. I mean, no,
take it
capoeira is cool.
back. Eh,
That shit's cool, but it's just
yo,
you can't take it back. Can't take it back.
I
Mark Dacascos,
think it's cool.
Yes, Dacascos.
Dacascos. He's the chef. He's the Iron Chef.
All right.
He's also one of
Well,
the badasses in John Wick 3. He
never
goes
seen it.
after John.
Pretty cool.
Never seen any of the
Okay.
John Wick movies.
But
I'm not an
as soon as
action
I
movie
mentioned
guy.
it, as soon as I mentioned it earlier, I looked it up. I'm like, oh, it's available. And there's teens in it. It's happening. It's
That
happening.
counts. All right, guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Recap and Gown Pod. That is RECAPNGOWNPOD. And join our Facebook group, the Recap and Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, we'd love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Mr. Douglas, "You cause me any more trouble, kid, I'll finish you, your friends, and your whole damn neighborhood." Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.